If you believe Hollywood, the life of a scientist involves one exciting breakthrough after the next. A person in a white lab coat, mixing chemicals, hoping for that glorious moment when a solution turns from blue to green. The reality, of course, is rarely like that. Most scientists are as much administrators, teachers, and thinkers as they are experimenters. NPR's Joe Palca has this profile of a young chemical engineer at Northwestern University. She hopes to discover new drugs to help premature babies, but she knows success could take years if it comes at all.
Sitting in front of a large computer screen, two scientists are anxiously awaiting results from their latest experiment.
Okay, so let's make it look pretty, though.
Pretty.
Oh my God, that's amazing. That's the best we've ever gotten. Cindy, those are like identical. That's the best data I've ever seen.
This is the kind of moment scientists dream about. Assistant Professor Annalise Barron and her graduate student Cindy Wu have been working for 3 years to make an artificial version of a molecule that is typically found in our lungs. Their molecule could someday save the lives of premature babies. These moments of high excitement are precious but rare. The everyday story of science in America is much more mundane.
Hi, Sarah. I'm sorry I'm late.
As a young professor, doing research is just one part of Annalise Barron's job, some days a small part.
Okay, so Sarah, I'm kind of excited because you said you're going to completely change your paper topic.
She's got courses to teach, lectures to give, and an endless stream of meetings with colleagues, with undergrads, and with graduate students.
Hey, Tom, come on in. Do you need me to sign something? Peltier plate is only $29.95? I would have thought like $500. Where is this, Radio Shack?
Barron is considered an up-and-coming scientist by her peers. Her intense personality makes her seem larger than a woman barely 5 feet tall.
I actually probably have too much energy. I think I overwhelm some people, you know, because I talk a lot. I talk really fast. I think really fast. And, you know, I have this kind of annoying tendency just naturally of sort of hopping from one topic to another, like in the middle of a conversation. So someone will think they're talking about one thing, and then suddenly I'll be like over here saying, oh, what about this?
With 13 graduate students and 5 postdoctoral fellows, Barron's lab is working on a variety of research projects. She keeps up on all of them, helps analyze results, and troubleshoots problems.
Hi, come on in, Cindy.
Ask Barron to give you the big picture of her work, and she'll tell you she's looking to help premature infants live longer and develop new medicines to fight disease. Barron's daily work is on the small picture, in particular, tiny molecules called peptides. Peptides are at a starting point of the complex chain of molecules that keep us alive. Some peptides are really good at killing bacteria, so scientists have tried to use them to make drugs. Trouble is, our bodies chew up small peptides rapidly, so they don't last long enough to be effective medicines. Barron had the idea of making a synthetic peptide, one which would be chewed up slowly, if at all. She calls this man-made molecule a peptoid, and so far, at this early stage, her idea seems to be a good one.
If we make peptoid mimics of antimicrobial peptides, which are nature's antibiotic, we could have a totally new weapon against bacterial infections, which could be really important.
But as important as this research is, Annalise Barron, up-and-coming young scientist, spends virtually no time in the lab. When Barron decided to test what she calls her wild idea to create synthetic mimics of natural molecules, it was her graduate student, Cindy Wu, who headed for the lab. For 3 years, Wu has been conducting experiments, hours of tedious data collecting that must be done over and over again to check for accuracy.
I think if you ask any graduate students, they think there's a unanimous yes, there is dredging. I mean, what's exciting about pipetting 20 microliters of this, of X, and 100 microliters of Y, preparing the solutions? I mean, I really can do some of these activities in my sleep because I've done it so often.
And with graduation just a couple of months away, Wu is now trying to improve on the initial results. Barron has asked her to test another molecule to see if this one is an even better mimic. But the machine Wu needs to test the molecule needs liquid nitrogen, and someone forgot to fill the tank. So suddenly, the young graduate student, weighing scarcely more than 110 pounds, turns into a stevedore, pushing a 250-pound stainless steel liquid nitrogen tank to a filling station in another building. This is typical of research at universities. The professors have the bright ideas, and the graduate students do the grunt work. In her day, Annelise Baron has also filled her share of liquid nitrogen tanks and other equally mundane tasks far removed from the eureka moments of science. Now she can pass those chores to others and be more productive overall.
As a single individual researcher, let's say I were in the laboratory every day running experiments, I could only really be doing one part of one research project. But if instead I can have a team of researchers and put each one on a specific project, then you can really get a lot done.
Getting a lot done is a relative term. Like all research, Baron's work progresses in a series of tiny increments. Each project, though totally absorbing to its participant, only inches you closer to the ultimate goal. But Baron knows you have to be mindful of the big picture if your work is to get anywhere. She hopes her new molecules will someday lead to new treatments for premature infants, perhaps even farther.
In fact, we hope that by creating this novel material that can mimic the properties of what's naturally found in the lung, that we might be able to have a new way to deliver drugs to the lung for the treatment of such widespread ailments as pneumonia and tuberculosis and asthma and cystic fibrosis.
Okay, ensalada de mariscos, tortilla española.
At a tapas bar in North Chicago, Baron is beginning to unwind after a long day.
Aceitunas, is that it?
Her life is firing on all cylinders. Her work on new lung medications is going well, as is another project looking at new ways of analyzing DNA. But even the hyper-energetic Annelise Baron is beginning to wonder how long she can keep all this going. After all, she recently got married and is expecting a baby this summer.
You know, I think as an assistant professor, you're so 100% focused on your research that, in fact, you know, your relationships with your own parents and brothers and sisters degenerate, you know, because you're working so hard that it's amazing that you can keep any friends through that period. So I'm still looking up some of my friends from high school and saying, hey, remember me? Yeah, I started this faculty position 5 years ago. Yeah, I miss you. Sorry about that. You know, I didn't call. I don't know. I mean, life must change, right? You can't keep working like a maniac your entire life, can you? No.
Maybe not. But American science is relying on the Annelise Barons of the world to keep at it so that new treatments for disease move from an academic dream to a medical reality. Joe Palca, NPR News, Evanston.